Oh God, from the moment we open our eyes in the morning until we close them at night, you are with us. In the times when we are surrounded with struggle and in all the places we hope, you are with us. When we feel orphaned by the world and when we are welcomed into the family, your Holy Spirit never leaves us. And so we praise your name today, Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today and every day. Amen. Amen. And now I want the children to come forward for our time together at the altar. I'm going to sit down with you. Okay. All right. Now, I might need help getting back up again, but I can certainly sit down with you. Now, I want you to tell me, when somebody comes over to your house for a visit, how do they get in the door? How do they get in? What do they do?
They twist the thing.
They twist the thing? They knock? Are you talking about the doorbell? They ring the doorbell. Sometimes they push a button and it goes ding-dong. If there's not a bell, they can knock, and that's how they get in.
And if somebody says come in,
they open the door and let them in. Yeah, I have a picture here. I'll show you. Can you tell me what I've got in this picture?
God.
Oh, that's Jesus. Picture Jesus. Yeah. And what is Jesus doing?
He's knocking on the door.
What do you think he wants to do? Talk to someone. Yeah. Who do you think that might be? Jesus wants to talk to. David? Well, Jesus definitely talked to David. What else, though? Who else might Jesus want to talk to?
Moses?
Okay. Jesus wants to talk to all those people in the Bible.
God?
Yes. Jesus and God? They're the same person. Yeah. Well, you know what? Jesus wants to talk to you. Jesus wants to talk to all of you. Jesus is knocking on your door, and you have to let Jesus in because you know why? Look at this picture and see if you can tell me something else about this picture. Why does Jesus need you to open the door?
It's dark.
Okay.
He needs to sleep somewhere if it rains. He needs to be in the house.
But how's he going to get in?
If somebody opens the door.
Oh, somebody has to open the door. There's no doorknob on the outside of this door. Jesus doesn't come in unless you invite him in, okay? There's what? There's a doorknob at your house. Most doors have a doorknob besides. But Jesus is not going to come in to your house or to your life unless you do what?
Open the door.
You have to open the door and ask Jesus to come in. Are you going to do that? Are you going to ask Jesus to come in? Because Jesus wants so much to talk with you and be your friend. Yes, you can. We're going to talk to Jesus right now because we're going to bow our heads and we're going to have a prayer. Okay? And then you can have your candy. All right, let's pray. We thank you, God, for all these children and pray your blessing upon them as they grow in your grace and truth. And may they know that the love of Jesus awaits them and all they have to do is open the door. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I got some candy for you. One apiece. There you go. Got one? Let's get one.
Okay. If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 310, we'll sing He Lives.
I see you turn the mercy.
together in the affirmation of faith, which is 887 in the back of your hymnal. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Come forward for the presentation of tithes and offerings. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine, O Lord, a trust, O God, from thee. Amen.
Seemed too good to
I think it's great to have music that makes you feel like moving.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And now I would invite you to do something a little bit different during this prayer time. What I would like to try with you this morning is to open with some silence in an attitude of prayer with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, and listening to God, opening yourself up to listen to God. Then if you feel called to share the name of someone that's in the world or situation in life that you would offer up to God here as a part of the prayer itself. And we'll do this at a few moments of silence, and then if you're called to do so, you may share someone's name, a place in the world, or a situation in life that you feel God especially needs to surround with his healing touch today. And let's give that a try. But first, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and in silence, open yourselves up to God's voice. And let God speak to you. We offer to you, O God, these prayers for us, for others, and for the world. Nothing we want is done to hear us. Hear us. But we're aware of what a mixed bunch of people we are. What a gray world we live in. Light and grace and judgment, goodness and sin are side by side in each of us. And so today we pray that our capacity to love and friendship be stronger than our tendency to hatred and divisiveness. We pray that our truth be satisfied more than our quest for denial and self-justification. And we pray that our desire for joy and goodness be larger than our lust for wealth and power. May our journey to peace and wholeness ease away the path of war, violence, and self-destruction. Today, make us those living values and purpose in this world that too easily chooses cursing over blessing, wounding over healing, and destruction over creativity. We pray that all creation may finally find its place in your harvest of life and love. All the praying in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from glory forever. Amen.
And if you'd stand and turn to page 328 in your hymnal, we'll sing, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in His place.
Like thanking God that God's presence moves around us when we lift our voices and we feel His mighty presence in this place. In the Gospel of Matthew, our reading is taken from the 13th chapter, verses 24 through 30. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and I think that's the same version that is printed on the screen. So hear these words of God. He put before them a parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect weeds for my bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Have you ever noticed just how often people try to divide the world into two kinds of people? Mark Twain, one of our American authors, said, There are basically two types of people. People who accomplish things and people who claim to have accomplished things. And the first group is less crowded. And then a man named James Thorpe said, The world is divided into two types of people. Those who love to talk, and those who have to listen.
Amen.
I wonder which one I am. And then, there are two kinds of people in the world, the givers and the takers. The difference between the two is that the takers eat well, and the givers sleep well. Of course, good old dear Abby weighed in on this as well. She said, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who walk into a room and say, here you are, and those who say, here I am. And finally, we have this from the humor writer Robert Benchley. He said, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who believe there are two kinds of people and those who don't. Well, as you may have gathered, in today's gospel lesson, we're dealing with people who believe that there are two kinds of people in the world, the wheat and the weeds, the good and the bad, the righteous and the evil. And these people who believe in two kinds of people also believe with all their hearts that not only are they themselves the wheat, the good people, the righteous ones, they also believe that they know who the weeds, the bad people, the evil ones are. They apparently believe that it is their job, their responsibility, their holy obligation to rid the world of weeds. And to all of this, God says a resounding no. First of all, there aren't two kinds of people. In reality, there are two kinds of people in each of us. The great author Martin Luther, we are justified and sinful, saint and sinner at the same time. And now that great Russian writer put it like this, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he said, if only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being. And who is willing to destroy a piece of their own heart? To separate the wheat from the weeds, the good from the bad, the righteous ones from the evil ones, would, as Solzhenitsyn said, require us to destroy a piece of our own hearts. And the Lord does not wish us for us to do that, not even to ourselves. That's God's job, not ours. And secondly, sitting around worrying about who's good, who's bad, who's in, who's out, who's really righteous and who's upon the evil one, distracts us from the real work God has called us to, the work of proclaiming the kingdom of God. And I want you to hear some more of those verses following the verse that we read to you earlier. It continues the description of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Listen to verse 31 through 33. He told another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like, what? A mustard seed that someone took and planted in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the largest of all vegetable plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds in the sky come and nest in its branches. And he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour until the yeast had worked its way through all the dough. And so, the kingdom of heaven is like a field with weeds. The kingdom of heaven is like a tiny seed that grows quickly and very large. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. It's tiny, but it makes the flour grow big. And big. The point is, don't worry about the weeds, just spread the seed of God's love. Like mustard seed and yeast that grow big and spread quickly, so it is with the kingdom. It starts out small, but it keeps growing. It keeps expanding. It keeps getting bigger. Don't worry about those weeds. We, as laborers in the kingdom of heaven, are not called to the task of separation and judgment. That's not our job. That belongs completely to God and the angels, who are much better suited to the task. Our calling is simply to spread the seeds of God's love in word and deed, trusting in God for the outcome. Now, as I emphasized on my first Sunday here a few weeks ago, the communion table in the United Methodist Church is an open table. And that means you don't have to be a member here, you don't have to be baptized, you don't have to have any particular qualifications, there are no restrictions. Anyone who wants to come to the communion table is invited to come. It didn't used to always be that way in the Methodist Church. I can remember when we were restricted by age, and I couldn't go up because I was too little. But that's not prohibitive any longer. No matter how old you are, how young, how old, you are welcome at God's table. God's table is an open table. I've also heard people say, I can't come to the Lord's table because I'm a sinner. And I said, that's exactly why you should come to the Lord's table. We all need God's grace. We are all sinners. We're all in the same boat. And God offers us all the same opportunity to receive the good gifts of God. But there are denominations who are still struggling over this. Some churches who believe that you can only come forward if you've been baptized, or if you were a member of their church. That's the only time you can come and take communion. But I found this story that I wanted to share with you that expresses why I believe in an open communion table. Because sometimes, as you'll hear in this story, it is that alone, the table of God's fellowship, it is that alone which brings someone to God. A woman by the name of Tara Edelschick was raised in a secular household. She had one Jewish parent and one Lutheran parent, and they didn't go to either church. They didn't grow up in any faith whatsoever. So she grew up and went to college and got married and got pregnant. All the while, there was no connection with any faith family, totally secular, totally separate from the church. And then all of a sudden, in this 1 2-week period of her life, her husband died from complications in surgery. Her baby was delivered stillborn. And so she was put in a spin. And not surprisingly, she went into depression and on a search for meaning. Why had this happened to her? And how could she cope with all of this? Well, she went off in a lot of different directions. She went to psychics and to New Age thinkers and meditation classes and prayers to a God whom she didn't believe in. She read the Bible, the Gospel of John, with a friend of hers, Tony, who was the only Christian that she knew. And Tony said that he was not going to try and persuade her. He would just read the Bible and let God do the persuading. And Tony did get after her to go to church. And so she looked up online liberal churches in New Jersey. And she went to the closest one to her house. And then she talks about the experience of this open table fellowship that she had in that church. She said, they practiced open table fellowship. I had no idea what that meant. But when everyone else got up to stand around the fancy table, I didn't want to be left alone in my seat. By the time I figured out that everyone was up to take communion, I had a choice, she said. Did I still want to go it alone, trying desperately to keep all the balls up in the air at the same time? Or did I want to admit myself up so that I didn't have to be alone? To admit that I had little control over what was going on in my life, but that I was intimately, infinitely loved. Having the choice of communion made it clear to me what I wanted, she said. After months of trying to find what I was looking for, I had to acknowledge I was hungry for Jesus. And so all my searching in which to place my faith didn't lead to a well-reasoned decision to choose Jesus over other gods. Instead, God offered me God's self in the form of Jesus. I didn't have to find God or explain God or even make sense of God. I just had to say yes. And she found it. She found her home. God's arms, God's community of grace, the sinners and the saints, God's kingdom of heaven are all open to us as the communion table, as that liberal church in New Jersey. And our call is to be like that church, to open our arms without judgment, without reserve, ready to welcome any whom God brings in to hear. Any of us, saint and sinner, all within each one of us, are welcome in God's house. Let's bow our heads and pray. We leave, God, the judgment in your hands, and know, dear God, that your love is so infinitely more ready for us and available to us when we ask for it. Whenever you knock on that door, you are there, and all we have to do is open it, and you are there. You are present in our lives even before we know it, even before we sense it, even before we know who you are at work in us. Help us just to say yes and open the door to our hearts. Amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing "The River Here." It'll be on the screen behind me.
Thank you.
Goldman, an anarchist of the early 20th century, said one time, she says, "If I can't dance to it, it's not my revolution." And I think God wants us to dance and move our feet.
Amen.
And laugh and enjoy.
Amen.
And share the abundance. Not focus on the evil, those weeds that are out there. We don't have to worry about any of that. We just want to share the gifts of God's gracious bounty.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now upon each of you as we go forth from this place. Go in His peace. Amen.